So folks, the week was pretty exciting. I had the opportunity on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, as I described for you last weekend, to go to Malibu for a thing called Parish Catalyst. It is an opportunity that is gathering communities from across this nation to reflect together on their experience of parish. And then as a result of that, to find out how we might better share things that we're doing that help to bring folks to Jesus Christ, how to work with people who have been disengaged from our church, how we gather together and celebrate the great gift and blessing that we receive. And then to pick some particular thing that we would work on, because we'll meet over 2 years, three more times, just to reflect on our own experience and some project that is ours. So let me give you an example of who attended. St. Ambrose in Brunswick, Ohio. Anybody from Brunswick, Ohio? All right. St. Benedict's, Holmdel, you're from New Brunswick? There you are. How about that? Do you know the parish, St. Ambrose? Good for you. Get to know it better. St. Benedict's Church in Holmdel, New Jersey. St. Camillus, Silver Springs, Maryland. How about that? St. Benedict's, Halifax, Canada. They were on fire. Frozen city on fire. The Catholic Community of St. Francis of Assisi in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Parish Community of St. Helens, Westfield, New Jersey. St. Monica's Catholic Community, Santa Monica, California. Let me tell you, folks, the only reason why we were chosen is because I happen to know the guy that's running it. And we're going to introduce him in a minute. The Church of the Nativity in Timonium, Maryland. Great community. Old St. Pat's Church in Chicago, Illinois. Father Tom was here last week. You remember he gave this wonderful reflection. St. Peter's Church in Yonkers, New York. And finally, the parish of Padre Serra in Camarillo, California. So it's pretty extraordinary, and the process was just fantastic. Now the person, you know, they have all kinds of people doing these things, and it's a great work, but the person that really captured that, and really with all of the resources of that family, he's here tonight. He's a member of our community, and I thanked him on those 3 days, but on behalf of all of those communities, Bill, and I think in a special way, and on behalf of this great initiative, Cindy and Bill are great part of our community, Bill and Cindy Simon. So let's just give them a little round of applause and to thank them tonight. Thank you. It's great. Thank you. It's something long in coming and something that is so important, because it's in the parish where that gift and grace blossoms in a community. And really, very little has been done to gather us and to connect and to make those things. So, on Tuesday, Rick Warren came for the morning session. And of course, he's like an explosion when he comes into a community. And he had some very incredible things to say. And over the next weeks, don't worry about it, folks, I'll give you much of what he said. But one thing that pertains to our gospel tonight made a lot of sense to me, and I would just like to remind you and share it with you. He talked a bit about his son Matthew, who we've shared a bit about in the past. He was a young man in his 20s, his son, who had suffered all of his life with a mental illness. From the very earliest years right through until he actually, 1 week after Easter this year, took his life, committed suicide. And it was a tragic moment for Rick Warren, who's really the pastor in many ways to this nation. He's an extraordinary man, and he and Kay are just wonderful parents. They did everything they could. Great physicians and good psychiatrists and wonderful pastors and all kinds. But nothing somehow prevented this ultimately from happening. And so he said, you know, they mourned the loss of their great son. And then he said, something came to me that brought me a little hope. He said, in God's garden of grace, in God's garden of grace, even broken trees bear fruit. Isn't that beautiful? In the garden of God's grace, even brokenness, broken trees, bear wonderful fruit for our God. And so he described his son Matthew would come to a big event, because, you know, Rick goes everywhere. And he would be greeting and meeting, and he would notice his son would always go to some person in the room who was struggling, who found life difficult, who was in some ways different from the rest of those folks. And that young Matthew would spend the entire evening with that person just to share with him or her something about his life. Great, great grace, even in the midst of a horrendous brokenness of life. So it strikes me, my brothers and sisters, in Rick's last statement about that area, when he said, if anyone is doing good in this world, when you look around and see people really doing good things, look for the pain. Look for the pain in their lives, because it will inevitably be there. It's out of the pain and darkness and struggle of our lives that somehow we bear fruit. Broken trees bearing wonderful fruit. And I believe that with all my heart. And that's this gospel, literally, tonight. In the gospel tonight, Matthew suggests that Jesus comes down from Galilee, from where he was beginning now to preach. This was the very beginning of his ministry. And he comes down to the Jordan River. And what is John doing in the Jordan River? John in the Jordan River is baptizing the baptism of repentance. It's not the sacramental baptism that we celebrate here in this church. That's not what it was. It was from the Qumran community. Many suggest that John came from that community. And in the Qumran community, daily, often, they did these ceremonial washings in order to symbolize and to pray for a healing, a cleansing, a forgiveness of sin. And so John took that practice and brought that to the Jordan, and he began to preach this incredible gospel of forgiveness and repentance from the living God. So when he gets down there, his cousin arrives. Jesus arrives. And he knows, John knows that this man is very special. He may not know he's the Son of God yet, but he knows for sure that he's the long anointed one, the awaited one. And so Jesus says, I want that baptism, cousin. And John says, no way. This is the baptism of sin, of darkness, of addiction. You're the Holy One, the long awaited. No way is it for you. But his cousin insists that he be baptized. And so our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, goes into the waters of sin. He goes into the waters of dark struggle. He embraces, my brothers and sisters, the human condition, not from a distance, not curing people, you know, so he doesn't get too close or doesn't smell or doesn't touch. He enters into the waters. He embraces that. And what happens? What happened? In the embrace of that, he comes out of those waters of sin and darkness, the Savior of the world, and the heavens open. And a voice proclaims, You are my beloved Son. On you, my favor rests. How about that? So, sisters and brothers, how do we come to that revelation inside our own lives? How do we walk every day? I made that decision this afternoon. I am going to walk like a son of God this week. I'm tired of being tired. I'm going to try my very best to live every day as a son of the living God, upon whom the favor of God rests. He loves me. He believes in me more than I believe in myself. How do we come to that? We do it as Jesus did it, my brothers and sisters. We walk in the struggle and sin and darkness of our lives. We don't run from it. We embrace it. We know that at times in our lives we can be all kinds of things. We suffer from addiction. We suffer from great sin by talking about people, judging people, living in terrible, fierce anxieties, no confidence or trust, living in crazy kinds of relationships that are all about us. We live there. But my brothers and sisters, it's the very thing Jesus says to us today. It's our sin that helps us somehow to recognize and to see the presence of our God. It's not in our successes. It's not in all of our great glamour. It's in that moment that we come to see the living God. And it's then that we hear that voice. You are my beloved daughter, in whom my favor rests. Now, you may not believe me, but listen to Pope Francis. That's why he is so touted. You see, Francis is, I don't know that he's going to make, who am I to say, but I don't know that he's going to make gigantic structural things. We need to make some, so hope he does. But what he's doing and what's caught fire, call it a honeymoon, I'll take it for whatever it's worth. I'll take anything. What he's doing is he's touching the human condition. And he's saying in our humanness, in our struggles, in our sin, and all of the ugliness of our lives and all of this stuff, that's where God is found. Listen to this. Nathaniel Roybal is our director of our little program that we have. We read a book every couple of months. And we just had this book club this afternoon, Pope Francis, His Life in His Own Words. So it's a conversation with the Archbishop of Buenos Aires before he became Pope. This is what he says. This is the idea that is quite different from sin. In other words, sin properly assumed is the privileged place. Whoa! Sin is the privileged place of personally finding Jesus Christ as Savior, of rediscovering the deep meaning that He has for you and for me. In short, it is the possibility to live the wonder of having been saved. So my sisters and brothers, what should that mean for us? Well, it should make us a lot happier this week, I would hope. If you lived as a favored child, you're doing pretty good. So I hope that you would feel that. And no matter what we've done, no matter what our struggles have been, no matter what our circumstances. No. But secondly, equally important, it strikes me, we've got to do that for each other. We've got to quit this life of judgment and harsh. We place burdens on people and we call them all kinds of names and we categorize people and why are we doing that? You see, if we believe that sin is the privileged place where God speaks to us, why wouldn't we believe that about you and me? That's what strikes me. So I think, my brothers and sisters, for us, it's attempting to see that great message of the baptism, the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. I think secondarily, it's an opportunity for us to be aware of that in our relationships with each other. Now, I think you're very tired. I think there's a fatigue at St. Monica's because I'm preaching this almost every Sunday. I'll admit it. But I'm not going to stop. Because it strikes me that that's at the very core of what has dissipated and separated and divided our church. People wander off because they're not perfect. They wander off because they find out that the church is not perfect. They wander off because they have felt excluded or diminished. Sisters and brothers, it's the opposite. It's the very opposite. When I, as your pastor, smell like you, when I stand here and say, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners, we're all working on this path together. I've got all kinds of things in my lives that I would never want you to know. Never. But somehow I can see now. It's dawning on me. It's taken me a few years. But it's in that. It's in that very thing that we find the person of the Savior of the world. So, let's have a really good week, folks, huh? Let's do that. Amen.